You know, they are the future of the church. I think it's very important that we invest in them. I'm thankful for moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles who thought it wise to bring your kids to church. The Lord will most certainly be blessing you for that. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Good to see each and every one of you here. Thank you for visiting us here today at New Hope Independent Baptist Church. We hope you can find yourself a friendly church here. We hope if the Lord leads you, you'll come back. And if you're visiting from another church, we welcome you as well. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again this morning for your word and for your truth. Lord, thank you for those children, Lord, who just exited out of here. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll give them a special blessing this morning. Be with those teachers, those workers over there this morning that are, Lord, they want to just serve you. God, I just pray, God, you'll give them a blessing. No doubt you will, for just wanting to serve. And I thank you for their willingness. I ask you to meet with us this morning. Lord, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit this morning. Lord, allow me to preach, Lord, like it's the last time I'll ever get to. And Lord, may someone under the sound of my voice learn something and glean something from your word this morning, not my voice, but from your word. Lord, we bind the devil off this place today. He's not welcome here. We don't even want him on this property this morning. Holy Spirit, we just assume you come down and show up and be home while we're in your house this morning. Meet with us now, Lord, and we'll praise you and honor you for it. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. I want to start a series this morning for the next few Sunday mornings. How to be a good soldier. How many of you know you are soldiers? Raise your hand. You're soldiers in the army of the Lord Jesus. Now let me ask you this. How many of you have actually served in our nation's military in some way or form? Raise your hand. Look, you know what it's like, and I appreciate men and women that have given up their time and their lives, many of them, for our freedom. But you know what it's like as a soldier or an officer in the Army, the Marines, the Air Force, the Navy, the Coast Guard, whatever it may be. Look, I'm thankful for them all. But you know what it's like to be a good soldier. You know, just being an ordinary soldier is okay, but it won't get you very high up in the rankings. This morning, I want to talk about a characteristic of what I think a soldier in the Lord's Army is. And in the next few Sundays, we'll go over some more characteristics on how to be a good soldier. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Verse 3, here we are. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a," what are the next two words, church? "Good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a" what, church? Did you know that God, when he saved you, enlisted you into his army? And it wasn't, it's not like we do have a choice to serve in the army, but you don't have a choice. You know, you were born into that army. There's nothing you can do about being in that army. You're in it or you're out of it. Now, here's what you have a choice. You can be a good soldier and be an effective soldier, or you can be a deadbeat, worthless, low-down soldier that don't really make a difference in this fight. But can I say that the same Holy Spirit that saved me is the same Holy Spirit that saved you if you're born again, and we all have the ability to be a good soldier. But to be a good soldier, there's some things we have to be. So first, let's go over what is a soldier. Well, it's a person who is a member of an army. A soldier can be a conscripted or volunteer enlisted person, or a non-commissioned officer, or a commissioned officer. But let me say this. The day you got born again, you enlisted into the Lord's army and you became a commissioned soldier. I want you to understand that we do have a commission. Go with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter number 28. You inherited this commission when you accepted Jesus as your Savior. We know this as the Great Commission. We hear about it, we preach about it, we talk about it all the time. But here's the question: what are you doing to fulfill the Great Commission. See, the Great Commission wasn't that just Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. There's some work that we as the soldiers in the Lord's army must do to help this Great Commission be fulfilled. Verse 18 in chapter 28 says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore." Let me tell you something. That word "ye" is talking about born again believers. Raise your hand if you're born again. Say amen. Raise it and say amen. Amen. Look, I like it when people say amen. I don't really like a quiet church. I like it to be exciting, and I don't want you to go crazy. But here's the deal. You do what the Spirit tells you to do, but raising your hand and saying amen, that's okay. Okay? "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Now look, let's just pause right there for a minute. Teaching all nations, you say, how am I supposed to do that? Well, there's a thing called missions that we give to every single month. You know, a lot of you might not have the ability to physically go to those other nations. But did you know that God has enabled men and women and their families to be able to do that? Through your prayer and your sacrificial giving, we can send missionaries to other countries and other people can be saved. And did you know that every missionary we support in every single country, every time they see someone born again, every time they see someone saved, every time they see someone baptized, did you know there's a God in heaven who's putting that on your account? You may never know the names of the individuals that are reached by those missionaries, but let me tell you something. God knows their name, and God knows your name. God knows how they got there. God knows that you sacrificially prayed and gave out of your own abundance that God has given you to send that missionary to that field to have that ability to be able to minister to people that you'll never see or know. Oh, but one day you will. And I'll tell you what, one day, I have a huge imagination, but I can't help but think, one day in heaven, one of my favorite things to do is give to missions, and I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on the Lord, but one day in heaven, I can't wait to get there and just look across and see people and say, "Hey, you're from that church that the missionary told us sent him out here. You gave to that missionary, and because of that, he was able to come over here and tell us about Jesus. And now my whole family's saved. As a matter of fact, let me just show you the hundreds that the missionary's family was able to reach because you gave and because you prayed." It's like, "I don't know your names, but oh, I sure am thankful I was able to be a part of that." You know, you don't have to know their names. You don't really need the credit for it. But isn't it good to know that you can take part in that? "Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." We became a commissioned soldier when we accepted Jesus. So what are some characteristics of a good soldier? Good soldiers have many characteristics that added together make them who they are. But today, I want to talk about one particular characteristic. And that characteristic is a good soldier must be honest. You ever think about how many of you like a liar? But let me ask you this, how many of you are liars? Come on, I read a statement last night. There's many things I can put up with in this world, but a liar is not one of them. I can't tell you how many times I'm guilty of saying this myself and being a liar. Hello? Nobody likes to be lied to, but oh, when the truth comes out and it's going to affect you, you'll lie too. Right? Am I the only one here? Amen. We're all the same. But did you know a good soldier needs to be honest? A good soldier must be honest. In God's army, there's no room for dishonesty, half-truth, or anything in between. Go with me to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. The Bible says, "Recompense no man," in verse 17, Romans 12, 17, "recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of" what, church? "All men." So did you know as a soldier of Jesus, when you go to Walmart and you are not thankful for the price that it rang up at because the price tag said something else, you know, you ought to have a good, honest spirit and just say, "You know what? Maybe the price was wrong. Let's just be honest here. My spirit's about to get wrong. Lord, help me. Anybody ever been there? Some of you laughing right now, like, oh my goodness, how did he know? Was he at Walmart this week? A couple times. I hate that place. That's why I say amen. Praise the Lord. We do have some saved people here. Praise the Lord. Walmart's almost as bad as Panera Bread. You ever been there? Don't go. Awful. Don't go there. Or Starbucks. Don't go there either. Step on any toes? Raise your hand if I stepped on your toes. Get them out of the aisle. I don't care. I'm just playing. I love coffee. But teaches us to provide things honest in the sight of all men. You know that when men look at us, it is very important that they see an honest individual. Like you said before, how many of you go to the coworker that you know is a habitual liar to ask him a question? Hey, did you do this? Oh, yeah, I did it. Really? You did that? I don't think so. And how many like those kind of people? We don't hate them, but we don't trust them. Church, did you know that if we're going to be effective in the army of the Lord, that this lost and dying world needs to be able to trust us? They need to be able to trust that we are who we say we are. That we're not just a soldier on Sunday morning, sitting in our pew, singing the hymns that Brother Scott is leading. That we're not just here on Sunday nights, Lord willing, in a month. We're going to start church on Sunday nights again. I'm excited for that. That we're not just here in a Bible study, listening to Brother Scott teach on Wednesday night. We're not just good soldiers then, but we're good soldiers at work. And we're good soldiers when at home, moms and dads, kids, if you're still in here, you're in the Lord's army too. If you're saved, you got a job. Obey your parents. That's part of being a good soldier. The Bible says to provide things honest in the sight of all men. That's not just in front of those people that know you. We're talking about people that don't know you. We're talking about you walk away from somebody. I always try to tell my kids, don't ever be in the presence of someone, or don't ever leave the presence of someone and their day be worse than it was when they met you. Always try to make a difference in somebody's life. You never know what a kind word to someone will say. You just never know. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't like it when people come in and don't want to shake my hand or, you know, and don't want to say hello. They just come in and put their head down, they sit in their seat, and they're like, let's just get this thing going. I mean, do you know that everybody sees that? And everyone's like, whoa, pins and needles around her, pins and needles around him. Don't say the wrong thing to them today. Church, you are saved, blood bought, born again, heaven bound with the hammer down. I'm going to say it again. We ain't got time to be messing around. Right? Why should we be walking around sad all the time? The worst thing you can do is die and go to heaven. Hello? That's not so bad. Look, you ought to be honest in the sight of all men. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse number 21, the Bible says, proving for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Hey, did you know that not only should men be able to recognize you as an honest soldier, but did you know the Lord ought to be able to look down and say, that's an honest soldier? And by the way, here's the hard part about this one. God knows our thoughts. He knows the intents of our heart. I'm talking about those things that you thought about doing in your mind and you fathomed in your mind how cool that would be, but you never really physically done it, but you dwelled on it for hours in your mind on how cool it would be if I could just do this. Can I say that's not honest? That's wrong. It's sin. You ought to be bringing those thoughts captive, bringing them over into obedience unto God, rejecting those thoughts. You know, the Bible talks about fiery darts. Take those fiery darts. Listen, I heard a man say it like this. You can't help the initial thought, but here's what you can help, what you do with it. You know, it's like going somewhere and maybe you see something on a shelf in a store that you shouldn't see. But man, can I tell you this? Don't say, hey, I'm going to walk back down that aisle again and look at that magazine again. What are you thinking? Hello? Or when you're driving down the road and you see things that you didn't really want to see, But the devil knows you struggled with that in years past, and you choose to just drive that route to work every single day. And as you're going by, you're like, can I tell you something? That's not honest. You might be in the car alone, but did you know there's a God in heaven looking down and seeing that? And he knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. Hey, guys, is your wife really not worth that much to you? You want to know why she don't trust you? Because you can't keep your eyes off other people. Hello? Just being honest. You want your wife to love you and trust you? Hey, show her that she's important. That you need to be honest in the eyes of the Lord as well. 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. We're going on a little journey here. I like the Bible. I like that we can take the Bible. And you know what? Here's the cool thing. I ain't making this stuff up. You can argue with God if you want to. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. You know, we're supposed to provide things honest in the sight of men, provide things honest in the sight of the Lord. But 1 Peter 2, 12 teaches us that our conversation should be honest. The Bible says, having your conversation what? Among the what? Now, who are the Gentiles? Us. You know, lost people. You know, our conversation should be honest. What does that mean? Well, it's like this. The Bible says evil communication, what does it do? Corrupts good manners. The Bible never said good communication corrupts evil manners. It's not what the Bible said. The Bible said evil communication corrupts good manners. So when you find yourself conversating, and I understand every conversation is not going to be about Jesus. That's not what I'm talking about. If you're talking about, you know, you had fun bowling with the guys or had fun playing ball this week, listen, that's not wrong. But when they start talking about filthy communication, evil stuff, vile stuff, I'm talking about things that you know you should not be talking about and you choose to partake of that conversation, folks, that's not an honest conversation. It's time for you to say, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. We were talking about baseball. I'm not talking to you guys about this. I have a wife and kids at home and a God in heaven that means more to me than your evil communication. I'm out. Oh, but who cares? Who cares what they think at that moment? You did the right thing. You know what they'll do later? You might see them walk in those church doors in 20 years and say, hey, you remember that time we were sitting around and we were talking about that filthy stuff and you chose to stand up for your God and your family? You have no idea what that really did for me that night. I know I said some things to you that probably hurt you. I might have made fun of you, but you made a difference in my life that night. And 20 years down the road, you may see that old joker walk the aisle and get saved because of your honest communication. Church, it's important. We need to be honest before men. We need to be honest before God, and our conversations need to be honest. As soldiers, we depend on each other too much to accept anything but total and complete honesty. Think about our military now, and as they're going off to war, you know, you think about the things that our military allows in it today, that our government is allowing into our military. I mean, I'm just going to say it, and I'm not making fun of them. Look, I'm not making fun of them. I have them in my family. I believe you're born a man or a woman. Everybody okay with that? Amen. I'm going to say it one more time. Let's get louder. I believe you're born either a man or a woman. Everybody okay with that? Amen. Okay. There is no in-between. There's no multiple genders. It's man, woman, male, female, he, she. That's it. But our military now are letting these so-called transgenders in to serve our nation. You know, I heard a colonel come out a couple years back, and he wrote a long article talking about how he rejected that movement and how he did not. And he took a lot of flack for it. But they sat him, and they almost got court-martialed because of it. They sat him in the courtroom, and they said, sir, what is your main reason for not being for what they want to be? He said, let me ask you a question. And he looked at that guy in his eyeballs, and he said, would you want to stand on a battlefield next to someone that don't even know what they are. Would you want to put your life in the hands of someone who cannot even decide what they are? Would you really want that person having your back when it came push come to shove? The answer is what, church? No. Well, let me ask you this. As a Christian, would you want the person sitting next to you right now that's claiming to be a believer to live like you're living? It's a real question. Because what if that individual was the one that was going to have your back one day in this fight called life? Hey, would you want them to be living like you're living? I'm afraid to say, oftentimes my answer is absolutely not. But I'm just trying to be honest this morning. Soldiers depend on each other too much to accept anything but total and complete honesty. Let's look at one man's sin that affected a whole nation. Go to Joshua chapter number 6. Joshua chapter number 6. This is for those of you who believe that your sin only affects you. It's okay if I'm dishonest because it's my business. It's my life. Doesn't matter what people think about me. I'm who I am and that's how it's going to be. It's not going to affect anyone else. Listen, church, that's a lie from hell. That's a lie from the devil. Joshua 6:18. The Bible says, "And ye in any wise keep your..." Go back to verse 17. This is when they're about to take over Jericho. They've marched around the wall 6 days. They're on the seventh day. They got to march around 7 times. You remember they had to be quiet for 6 days. The seventh time, after they marched around the seventh time, the trumpets were going to blow. God had already promised them the victory, remember? But here, God gave them some instructions. Look at verse 17. "And the city shall be" what, church? "Accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live." Now people know the story of Rahab. She allowed the spies to come in. She housed them. And so they said, in exchange for that, we'll protect you and everyone in your house. And so she did the right thing. But look at this. She and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. "And ye in any wise keep yourselves from" the what, church? "Accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed, when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Now, go to chapter 7, in verse number 1. I want to show you that one soldier's dishonesty and disobedience can lead to many fallen soldiers. Chapter 7, on comes the scene, a man named Achan. "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children." Did you notice the Bible says the children of Israel committed a trespass? Now, but it only said Achan is the one that did it. Church, he was in an army that God instructed not to do something. When you take of the accursed thing, you shall become accursed. What I'm trying to say is, one man's sin affected a whole army. Check this out. "And Joshua sent men with Jericho to Ai, or men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aben on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai." Now look, I love the attitude of these men right here. They had just watched God deliver Jericho into their hands. So these men are like, check this out. "And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few." You know what these men said? Look, God just allowed us to defeat Jericho. And keep in mind, these men had no idea what Achan had done yet. Or I would imagine their response would have been a little bit different. But they said, look, Ai is nothing. Let these people rest. Send us up just a couple, 3,000 people. We'll wipe them out. No problem, right? Wrong. Verse 4. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. Notice how they're fleeing a battle here that really God had already promised. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. For they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes, fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord unto the eventide. He and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. You say, only 36 men out of 3,000 died. I mean, really, they came back home with, what, 2,964 people? That's a pretty good number to come back with. I mean, only 36 guys died, but look, God never planned on any of them dying. You know, they just defeated Jericho, a much larger, a much more dangerous, a much more vile, much more wicked place than Ai ever thought about being. And nobody died, right? But because of one man's sin, 36 daddies didn't come home to their wives and children that night. See, we don't think about it in that perspective. Sitting back in the camp are moms and babies waiting on daddy to come home because they know, oh, they only sent 3,000 men. This must be an easy battle. Daddy will be back at the end of the day, right? Not for 36 families. But Achan is the one that sinned. He's still alive. Not for long. Look, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, church, that shall he also reap. Let's look at this. Achan sinned when he took of the accursed thing. Go to Joshua chapter 7 and verse number 19. Skip down there. Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I, what did he do? Coveted them. And took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and under and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, brought them unto Joshua and unto all the people of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them into the valley of Achor, which is also called the valley of trouble. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him, again, singular, with stones, and burned them. Now it's getting pretty personal for Mr. Achan, right? Burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. So, one man's sin, did it affect the whole nation? Hey church, it didn't just affect the nation. Men lost their lives. Ultimately, what about his sons and his daughters? How do you think old Achan felt when he was watching those men raise up those stones to throw at his sons and his daughters? Let me ask you this, Daddy. How would you feel one day if what you're doing in moderation right now, your children take off into excess later in life and they become the town drunk? Hello? I'm just being honest. How would you like that your sin doesn't mean that much right now? I can control it. You might think you're controlling it, but little Johnny, he's watching you. Little Susie, she's watching. She's watching mom and what mom thinks she's getting away with. And one day when little Susie takes that a step further in her marriage and your grandbabies are suffering, hello? Church, we serve a just God. We serve a good God, but he's a just God. This stuff is real. I can't imagine Achan coveted over that silver and gold when he saw those hands going up with them stones, and his babies were sitting there about to get stoned to death. And after that, they were burned with fire. How would you feel? One soldier. Many men paid for the consequence. Many children paid the consequence. Achan's sin cost 36 men their lives and ultimately cost him his family and his life. A good soldier must be honest. I read some honesty quotes that I wanted to share with you, and then a couple of dishonest quotes, and then we're going to have Miss Barb come and she's going to play an invitation song for us. Honesty. Did you know a half-truth is a whole lie? You guys know that? How about this? Every lie is two lies. The lie we tell others and the lie we tell ourselves to justify it. Honesty is the best policy. If I lose my honor, I lose myself. Anyone want to take a guess who said that? Does anyone know who said it? William Shakespeare. Honesty is more than not lying. It is truth telling, truth speaking, truth living, and truth loving. That's a good saying. One more on honesty. When you tell a lie, you steal someone's right to the truth. Honest living shows the truth of Jesus in you. Did you know that? And how about these dishonest quotes? I really like this one. There's only a couple of these, and then we're going to have an altar call, and we'll be done for the day. Some people are real. Some people are good. Some people are fake. And some people are real good at being fake. How about that? Anything more than the truth would have seemed too weak. A soldier, a fallen soldier, said that. Anything more than the truth would have been too weak. What if this was our mentality as soldiers of our Lord Jesus? Man, when things get hard, Miss Barb's going to come and play a song of invitation. What if that was your attitude? You know what? Anything short of the truth would just be too weak. You know, the Bible says the truth will make you free. That's another word they change in those other versions. It's not set you free. Church, the truth makes you free. It's not a setting process. It's a making process. You understand that? God don't need time to set you free. He made you free. And if the truth therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Church, this altar's open this morning. Miss Barb's going to play a song of invitation. I wonder this morning if maybe you could stand to be a little bit more honest of a soldier. You know, this altar's open. If you need to come pray and stand before the Lord this morning or kneel before the Lord in humility, listen, God resists the proud. But did you know He gives grace to the humble? It's okay to humble yourself before an almighty God. I dare say we as soldiers all have some room to become better soldiers of Christ. I appreciate men and women that are honest, and boys and girls that can stand to say, you know what? I don't want to be an Achan. I don't want my church to fall. I don't want my family to suffer because I was dishonest. What I want is to thrive, not just survive. Church, God didn't want us to just survive. God designed for you to thrive in this thing called Christian life. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. This altar's open. If you need to do business with the Lord, you do that.